Okay. Start again. Parshat Balak. So even though we're talking about Parshat Balak, I want to quote a pasuk from the very end of Parshat Vezot HaBracha. V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe, asher yida'o Elokim, asher yida'o Hashem panim al panim. Chazal comments, what does it mean v'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe? So the Medrash says, B'Yisrael lo kam od k'moshe. There was never another Navi like Moshe in Bnei Yisrael. But in the Umos HaOlam, there was a Navi like Moshe. Where do we have a Navi like Moshe in the Umos HaOlam? As I'll say, Bilam. Bilam was like Moshe. You know, our Midrashim, we just discuss various things that Moshe Rabbeinu had over Bilam and things that Bilam had over Moshe Rabbeinu, but there was a Navi as great as Moshe. He was Bilam. So it always bothered me. How's that possible? How can anybody come along and compare Bilam HaRasha to Moshe Rabbeinu and say he was just as great? You know, at first glance, it just doesn't make any sense at all. So I saw a certain idea, I'm going to build on it, quoting the name of Rabbi Aaron Bakst. It says, my problem in not understanding what Chazal meant was that I'm taking a look at Moshe Rabbeinu from when he's basically 80 years old and up, and I'm taking a look at Bilam, the way he appears in Parshat Balak. What Chazal meant, though, was that Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu, when they started off early on in life, had very, very similar characteristics. They were both brilliant, extremely wise, and they both, even Bilam, had a certain sense of spirituality, whatever that was. And when they were starting off, Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam had those characteristics that they could have equally achieved the same greatness. But what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu develops his innate abilities in one way, and Bilam takes a different path in life. Where does it start from? So I think it starts on, take a look in Chumash Shmos, even before Matan Torah, which according to Chazal, Pshuto Shel Mikra is decades before Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is growing up in Paro's household. Right? He is Paro's adopted grandson, in a certain sense. Adopted by Bata. Presumably he has anything and everything that he could want. He has it all. And what concerns Moshe? Other people suffered. First it's a Mitzri quarreling with the Yehudi, with an Ivri. Then it's a Ivri quarreling with an Ivri. And then it's Goyim fighting each other. Benot Yitro with the others. And when people are suffering, or people are being downtrodden, Moshe Rabbeinu feels for them. He cares about others. Let alone the famous Medrash that tells us about the wandering sheep. That Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, chases the sheep who ran off, and then he realizes, the sheep is so tired, he picks up the sheep and he carries the sheep. Moshe Rabbeinu cares. His life, he takes the qualities that he's given, and he begins to focus on helping others. Never concerned about himself. Only concerned about others. And then, of course, at some stage in life, his whole life becomes fashioned and formed by Torah. from the time Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in the Snebeler Ba'esh and gives him a mission in life to be the manig of Bnei Yisrael, to take them out of Mitzrayim, to be the one who later will give them the Torah in Har Sinai, to teach the people and judge the people and everything else that's involved. Moshe Rabbeinu takes these innate qualities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them and he takes them in a certain direction. Bilam HaRasha was born with similar qualities. It was a gift from Shemayim. The brilliance and a certain ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever it takes to become another. But what does Bilam do? From the very beginning, is what we know about Bilam, from Chazal, and later on from the Psukim. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned about helping others, Bilam is also concerned. He's concerned about helping himself. That seems to be his key focus. Bilam wakes up in the morning and he says, what can I do today for Bilam? Chazal, the Medrash, that there were three advisors in Paro's palace. Yitro, Eov, and Bilam. And when Paro comes along and he says, what should I do to Bnei Yisrael? No, we should enslave them. So Yitro objects. Eov is at least silent. Bilam's going, rah, 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 yeah. Why? Well, find favor in Paro's eyes. And you find favor in Paro's eyes, that's good for you. Later on, it's clear that when Bala comes along and says, listen, I want you to help me. So what does Bilam want? Pasuk says, in Yitengli Bilam, Milo Beito Kesev Zahav, I'm quoting the Pasuk more or less correctly, says he can give me a household full of gold and silver, and I can't do anything that Hashem doesn't want me to do. Implying that, what would he like to do? Give me a house of gold and silver and I'll see what I can do. Not only that, but it's very interesting that Bilam agrees to help Balak Melech Moab. Yet in the previous parsha, we read that Sichon captured parts of Moab. How is he able to capture parts of Moab? So Rashi there quotes Chazal and says that Sichon tried to capture parts of Moab, but he wasn't able to. So what did he do? He hires Bilam to curse Moab, and then Sichon is successful in capturing parts of Moab. Now, he's willing to hire himself out to Moab to curse Bnei Yisrael. So it's nothing personal. He'll go against Moab, he'll go for Moab. Pay the bill, fill my coffers, make sure my Swiss bank account keeps increasing, and I'll hire myself out to anybody. Bilam is concerned only about Bilam. And therefore, when Chazal come along and say that there wasn't a Navi, B'Yisrael Kemoshe, but in Umos HaOlam there was, can't take a look and see Bilam is in Parshas Balak. But when they first started out, they both had the ability to achieve greatness. Moshe Rabbeinu chose one path. Bilam chose a very different path. There's a lesson, as always. A person can be born with great brilliance, with tremendous qualities, but it doesn't guarantee what we would call success. And it certainly doesn't mean that that person should become a role model. Go out to university and you can meet brilliant professors who are at the top of their field, in whatever field there is. And they have a tremendous amount of knowledge. And they need to be great teachers in transmitting that knowledge. But that doesn't mean that they are great people. The baby should become our role models. There have been many brilliant people throughout history who in their own personal lives were very decadent. Because just being born with that wisdom and just accumulating knowledge, if you don't take it in the right direction, doesn't guarantee anything. There's a story I told earlier this year, and I may have even mentioned it in previous years, about a certain professor in the City University of New York by the name of Bertrand Russell. He was by all accounts, a very brilliant person. He was a mathematician and a philosopher. And at one point, he started teaching a course in ethics in the City University of New York. I think this goes back to around the 1940s. And something had occurred, I don't know what, in which Bertrand Russell had been engaged in that evidently was not at the highest level of an Adam Musari. He got involved in something that was supposedly quite decadent. So he was called in before the Board of Trustees of the City University. And they said to him, Professor Russell, don't understand, you are here, you want to teach, and you are teaching a course in ethics. How could you engage in such unethical behavior? So Bertrand Russell turned to the boy and he said, I don't understand. When I taught the course in mathematics, you didn't demand of me that I become a triangle. So why, if I teach a course in ethics, do you demand of me to become ethical? They're not at all connected. And from a certain perspective, we understand. If it's just knowledge, if it's just an accumulation of wisdom, Bilal Marasha was brilliant. As brilliant as Moshe. Had qualities like Moshe. That doesn't tell us anything about how you're going to turn out. No more should it. So Bertrand Russell can teach whatever he wants to. And he'll be a brilliant professor. But that doesn't affect who he is. But by Gedolei Yisrael, it's a different story. By true Gedolei Yisrael, and you read all these biographies, the biographies are there, they don't always tell you, yeah, there'll be a little bit about the, you know, the great Chidush Torah that the person had, and the brilliant answer that he gave to the question. But you read stories and stories about the person that they were, and their behavior. And you read about the Chofetz Chaim, when you read about the Moshe Feinstein, when you read about the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you read stories and stories about how they perfected themselves as human beings because they took their brilliance and they made sure to fashion it with Derech HaTorah. There was a famous, later became famous, description once given about Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was the Rosh Yeshiva in Europe, in Kletsk, and then came to Eretz Yisrael. He was known as the Khan Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. And somebody once said about Rabbi Zalman that had Rabbi Zalman been an Am Haaretz Gomer, had he known nothing, not even Aleph, still, the person said, he would be the nicest, finest Jew in all of Yerushalayim. And I heard Baron Lichtenstein say the same thing about the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So on the one hand, there's a little asterisk that you have to add on. And that is that Rabbi Zalman Meltzer didn't become who he was, or wouldn't have become who he was, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wouldn't have become who he was if he hadn't fashioned his life in Torah. If he had really been an Am Haaretz, so lo Am Haaretz chassid. So he couldn't have become what they became. They couldn't have become what they came. But once they fashioned their lives in Torah, putting aside their brilliance, putting it off to the side, now if we were to ignore it, you just were two of the finest human beings who ever walked the face of the earth. That's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam. You can be born with certain qualities, but now what do you do with it? On the one hand, Chazal tell us, Zohar Chacham Halom Ein Mikol Adam. There's something to be learned from everyone. But just because someone is my teacher doesn't mean that I should become their Talmud. In this week's Perek in Pirkei Avos, Chazal tell us that one can choose to become a Talmid of Shel Avram Avinu, and one can choose to become a Talmid of Shel Bilam HaRasha. They're both brilliant. They both have a lot to teach. But I must be very wary over whom I wish to identify with. Whose Talmud do I want to be known as? Talmidav shel Bilam HaRasha, Yorshim Gehinam V'yardim L'Be'er Shachas. Those who decide to identify with Bilam HaRasha, so they end up in the Be'er Shachas, in the pit of destruction. But those who choose to identify with Avram Avinu to become his Talmidim, Ochlim Bolam Hazeh, V'Nochlim Ba'olam Haba.